You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hi, everybody. Oh, my voice is raspy already because I was laughing with my guests and talking so fast and everything, but tonight's going to be a really good show. Of course, this is Natalie, also known as Stars Cast. I have to start that off. Some people will say, well, who is this person? And anyways, you know, I always get excited about my guests. But I want to tell you, first of all, about mysticlivingtoday.com. It won't be long, and I say this, 5 days I'll be sending out reminders to the publicists, to the authors, to the people that submit poetry. I have a gentleman in China, and I have one in India, and they're both fine. The one in China is fine. His family is fine. We communicate a lot. I have to make sure that he's doing okay. He's really sweet. Well, I don't know how sweet he is, but he writes really nice, kind emails to me, and you can always tell in emails how somebody is, I think. But anyways, that'll be going up on the 1st, and of course my stars with a Z, psychics.com. And remember that, you know, stars is a place where you can go. Yes, you can get a reading, but you can get encouragement and love and support, and it's a tough time right now. I do have, for first-time clients, $10 for 10 minutes, and that's going on, and you can get one question answered for $5, and we have a 3, a 2, and a 1-question email reading. Those are more in-depth, a little bit longer. And I think at this time, you know, sometimes we just need to know that there's somebody kind on the other end if you're alone. I mean, I don't really do the site. I'm afraid that if I got on the site, I'd be slammed, and I just, you know, I'd be talking away and losing my voice because I probably would go on the audio. I like to talk to people rather than type to them, but I can do that as well. But anyways, I have a multitude of advisors there. They're all loving. They're all sweet. Just the best. I mean, Stars is not like other sites now, you know. It's a place that these readers, all the advisors, I should call them readers, but they're advisors to me. They all got interviewed by me. I talked to them, most of them, on the phone. And I got to know them, and we communicate a lot. I can send them little notes on their account, and it's just, it's a wonderful place for them. It's a family, and when you come into the, you know, into the site, you're part of the family, and that's how you're treated. And, you know, you can always contact me. There's a contact place in every account. Contact us. That's me. It comes to me, and if you have a concern or whatever. But anyways, so we're going to begin tonight with my guest. Oh, I'm so excited because I have to tell you what she sent me. You're going to flip out with this. We were already laughing about it. My guest is Lexi Potemkin, and she is an author. She's an ordained minister, and we have to talk to her about this, but she met the Dalai Lama 4 times, and I'm going to pick her brain on that. So, welcome, Lexi. How are you tonight?
Oh, thank you, Natalie. It's wonderful to be on your show.
I'm going to tell everybody before we get started. Lexi sent me her books. There's 5 of them. And she had this beautiful note. And it's a card that's got her website on it. It says, "Hello, Natalie. I'm so looking forward to speaking with you. Love and blessings, Lexi." I was telling her that I get books all the time, but nobody has ever made me feel, and I've never talked to Lexi before, made me feel, you know, like, oh, wow, I can't believe somebody did this for me.
No.
It's true, Lexi. So now let's get started with you. How did you get into this world of writing, and how did all this begin for you? And by the way, you are still living, were you born in Aspen? Is that where you're from?
No, I was actually born in northern Idaho, on a big farm in northern Idaho. Yes, and I'm talking about that in my new book. Those were my roots, but I lived most of my adult life in Manhattan, in New York City.
Big difference.
I was involved with the International League for Human Rights, and I was doing a lot of volunteer work at the same time that I was running a business. And I found it so rewarding giving back, making a difference, volunteering. And I decided to start writing spiritual books, and I was fortunate enough to know these renowned artists like Peter Max. He did my first book, What is Spirit? And I spent about a year and a half interviewing people from all walks of life and talking about what is spirit, how have you manifested spirit in your life, and what does that word mean to you. And I put it all in a book, and Peter Max did all the artwork, and it meant a lot to me. So that was the first book that I wrote. And then I decided to write a whole series of books, beautiful art books with profound messages that hopefully will inspire and help people on their journey. You know, right now what we're going through, I think my What is Death book is helpful.
Yes.
I have a website, you know, spiritpeacelove.com, and I have free resources where I offer a grief and loss course. And I think that's very important. We're all grieving right now. There's possible loss of loved ones, loss of jobs, loss of our old life right now.
Yeah.
We're all grieving on one level or another. So my under the free resources, this great grief and loss course is all about, you know, looking at yourself, the inward journey, and going to forgiveness and learning to let go. And it's something we all need right now as we're going through this. But I'm also reminded that, you know, loving memories keep us going during difficult times. So, you know, it's important, I think, to reframe what are we doing right now. Maybe this is an opportunity that we can use to grow as a human being and become more spiritual and more connected to ourselves. I said to my friend the other day, I said, let's pretend we're going on a retreat. If we were on a retreat, we would be meditating. We would be creating thoughtful meals. We would be spending more quality time with ourselves. We would probably journal. Maybe we would talk about the things we're grateful for and do reflection. So as we're going through this grieving and loss, I think it's also important to reframe it and make ourselves strong, because it's very challenging for everyone right now.
It really is. And we were talking before the show that I've noticed, I mean, I have ambition, but it seems to be, it waxes and it wanes. I mean, it's really strange. I'm sleeping really good, and then I find myself, I'll say, okay, let's do something for Natalie. Okay, so I'll do something that, I don't know, I love music. I've always listened to music, even as a little girl. And when I work on my magazine, I got my headphones on and my tunes are going. And my son always says, Mom, how you have it turned so loud. I like loud music. I want to hear it. So I want to hear it. But you can hear, he says, but you can hear it outside. You can't hear it outside. He's teasing me. But, yeah, I ride my bike, and I have my headphones on with my music. So I seem to be leaning on that a little bit more. I told everybody last week I grew a site called Pogo.com, P-O-G-O.com, and play games. But they're mind games. They are... they make you concentrate on something like numbers or that. Yeah, they have Mahjong, which is like, say it's a flower and you have to find the other flower that matches. And then it goes into a little box and you get points. You know, that kind of thing. It's not like, flip the little boxes here and there. You really have to think. You have to search. I go to the search games. I mean, and they're solitaire. I shouldn't be promoting. I should tell them I promote them every day, every Wednesday on my show. They probably laugh, but I've been with them for 12 years.
Well, that's interesting
and
that you reframed it and started working on things like that. That's great.
Yeah, well, I have a fairy tale. Everybody hears a story about this fairy tale that I started. But I just, something holds me back from it because I really don't know the ending. It's a real spiritual / fairy tale. But it's, there's that ambition. I just really don't have the desire. I go outside and I'll have my notebook and I'll end up just looking at the birds and the squirrels, and we have these big, huge white cranes that come and visit because I'm in South Carolina, so it's subtropical here, so you get beautiful stuff like that. I just sit out there and listen and look up at the sky and watch these huge planes fly over that I've always wanted to fly, and I'll think, oh, yes, I wanted to fly you, but they wouldn't take women then, but, you know, I always yell at them.
Right.
But anyway,
you wanted to be a pilot.
Well, I don't know. I just I've always felt, I haven't been on a plane that much, but I don't like sitting in the back. I'd rather be right up in front with the windows, right, looking out. I want to know what's going, what I'm coming to. I used to go to an airport with my father on Saturdays. I was about 8 years old. He'd take me, and we'd watch the planes land and take off, and I'd go and talk to the pilots walking around. I mean, I was this cute little thing, you know, and how could they resist me? And my father, he'd shake his head, and he'd say, "You're going to get us arrested." I would say, "How am I going to get us arrested? I'm just talking." He said, "Well, you're probably asking them things they can't tell you." I said, "Maybe." And I said, besides, we had three newspapers, the Detroit Times, the Detroit News, and the Detroit Free Press, and I'd say, none of those papers are going to allow me to get arrested, nor you, for asking questions. If they don't want to answer, that's okay. I was very intelligent. They didn't know it, though. And I would ask these questions, and I just loved it. But my dad was a machinist, Lexi, and he knew everything about the mechanics of stuff.
Wow.
So it was like, and he had this love for a plane. He just loves planes. Mm-hmm. He always did, you know, and it passed it along to me. Back to ambition. Of course, you were telling me you have a house full of young people, and so you're quite busy. But do you ever find that you don't have ambition to do something? Because you're probably forced to do things, right, because you've got all of these kids dependent on you, right?
Well, I do have that going on, but at the same time, in the beginning, you know, I think it was fearful for all of us. You know, I had some friends that actually got the virus, were very, very ill. So it was hard to sleep at night because there is that underlining fear that we're all dealing with, I think, on some levels. But then I kind of just pushed through it myself, and I said, you know what, I want to stay focused on trying to give back and make a difference. So I went and worked with a few women who were redesigning my website so you can get those free resources more easily. And, you know, I'm going to offer my What is Death book on sale for $10 and things like that. So I kept thinking, what can I do to make a little difference in my little world, at least try to do something to give back during this very, very challenging time. So once I refocused, I feel better. But, you know, it is hard to sleep at night. I have good nights and I have bad nights because sometimes if I watch the news and I kind of have that in my head, then I have a really hard time sleeping because I'm worrying about the world and about people dying. And so I watch the news now every 3 days. I don't watch it every night because that was also, I think, creating some anxiety for myself, to be real honest.
It does.
I feel great now.
Yeah,
but, you know, in the beginning,
it
was shocking. Yeah.
Yes. And after a while, it you don't want to say, I'm just sick of this, but you are sick of it. You just want it to go away. It's in your mind, it's in your body, it's all over. It's just taken you all, and I realized that was probably bothering me. So now I'll watch a little bit in the morning, and then I go and do my thing, and it's really pretty here right now because we're in our spring, and spring is not quite as hot as summer, but it's hot, and it's wonderful. But there's things around here that I could do, but I'll take stuff out, and I'll say, well, okay, you can do this today, but then I don't get to it. But I leave it out because I know all of a sudden, Lexi, there's going to be a point where I'm going to say, oh, yes, I can do this right now. I feel like it. I work my best at night. I find myself, I can clean the bathroom floors. I can clean the kitchen floors.
You're a night owl.
Well, I guess I am. I don't know. But I pamper myself more. I mean, if I decide, okay, you did the blog. The magazine takes several days for me to do, so I can't really do too much relaxing with that. But if I'm done and I don't have to work on my bookkeeping for that particular day, I just sit and meditate, or I go outside and I listen to the birds and everything like that. And that's my way of doing something for me.
Well, that's very wise, Natalie, because self-care is really important. I think people often forget about how important that truly, truly is. We have to take care of ourselves so we can take care of others. And so
for
you to have that time for yourself is very smart. Good for you.
Well, it's just instinct, I think. I didn't think about it. I just started doing that because, you know, I'm an empath, and I'm sure you are too, and you know what we're like. We can sit and ponder the whole world. How can I fix this? I mean, I talk to God every day. Okay, if you give me the tools and tell me what to do, I'll do it. If you want to give me a huge magic wand, I'll do that too. I'll wave it and it'll all go away. But I know that it can't. But, you know, and I want your take on this, is that I think all of this, I regard this, and I don't like to say because people have died, because I don't like that, is kind of like a comeuppance for the world. I think the world revolved around money, and now it can't revolve around money. You've got to revolve around each other, take care of each other now. It's about people. It's not about the money. I said that to my friends so many times. It's about the money. He's not going to do this or she's not going to do this because it's about the money. And that's sad.
Right.
It's been a money-driven world.
Well, it has been. Money and materialistic-driven, and I think this is an opportunity for a lot of growth.
And I said to God, you're not going to teach everybody a lesson. This, you know that. This is not going to be – I mean, I'm not like that at all. I mean, I help my son and my granddaughter and my daughter-in-law a lot. I always have for my son. But that's, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, when I talk in my meditation a little bit, I always talk to God in the morning, and I said, you know, this is not going to fix everything. People are going to go back to their ways. But you and I were also talking that I don't think life is going to be as we knew it. I think things are going to change.
I think that there is a silver lining. I think this is a time,
I think
as
so
we
too.
Said earlier, about reflection and priorities. And I think this has a way of bringing a lot of clarity into people's lives about what's really important.
Right, exactly.
There's more family time right now.
Yep.
There's lessons to be learned in that. One of our greatest teachers is death itself, the impermanence of all of us living here on this planet. We're all going to die. It's a matter of when. And so we have death, of course, staring us more in the face right now. So it's an important time to say, okay, when I die, how do I want to be remembered? Maybe that will teach you how to live more fully right now in the moment.
You're right about
and
that,
appreciate
because I think
people.
About that, because I only have one child, Lexi, and we're very close, and I'll sit and ponder and think, you know, I just, I've been very blessed, and I have no complaints. No, I mean, several times I almost died, I just have no complaints at all, but I just want to do more. I guess, you know, we want to do more. But anyways, let's get back to you. And because I want to know, what was it like meeting the Dalai Lama?
Well, I've been very fortunate. I've been able to spend time, quality time, with Tibetan Buddhist monks for over 22 years, primarily monks from the Drepung Losling Monastery. And I have met His Holiness on numerous occasions. Once in New York, when I was vice president of the International League for Human Rights, we honored His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. We used to sneak him into human rights conferences, and that's how this came about, because we were an NGO, a non-governmental organization. We used to bring him in and say, you know, this is what happened, and, you know, on behalf of His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, this is really the truth. And we could really speak up against countries, okay, in terms of human rights atrocities that were taking place. So I've always known he was out there, but the pleasure of meeting him is quite profound, to say the least.
Were you in awe, Lexi? Were you in, like, awe? Like,
yes, because I was in awe of his journey, and he has a new book out, and I'm just reading it now, and it's his biographies on the cover. It's beautiful. And so, you know, yes, he's had quite a life, and when you look at the world, he's one of the few spiritual masters out there walking the earth right now. And he's written over 21 books, and each one in its own way is profound and has made a difference. And his programs, from science and meditation and the SEA learning program, the social, emotional, ethical learning program that he's responsible for at Emory University, which teaches resiliency, which is something we all need right now. This is a,
right.
In fact, you can go to that website for free and get certified in SEA learning. It's SEE, social, emotional, ethical learning. So it's SEA learning at emory.edu. And, you know, what a great time to use maybe this downtime to go get certified in something like that for teachers, parents, anybody.
Exactly.
And that's what we need. That's what will save the world from being too materialistic and too involved with things that really don't matter.
Which was what we were just talking about, money,
our social
money
being and our
Yep.
Yeah, ethics
yep.
and morals and values. And that's what's going to make us resilient during difficult times and make the world a better place, bottom line.
It will be, yes. It will be. And people who have been so materialistic are now finding that, it's not getting me anything. It's not getting me anywhere. And what they're going to do is they're spending more time with self, a lot of people. So they have to find out what they're about. You and I know pretty much.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because of what we do. But there are people out there, they just travel everywhere. Well, you can't travel everywhere now. You've got to be where you are. Maybe take up something. I'm probably going to go back to cross-stitching again. I used to love to do that. I love to read. I like to read to somebody, though. I mean, if I could get my granddaughter here, I could read her book after book after book. And because she likes to hear me read. She said, you have
wonderful.
A way about, if it's dialogue, you like accelerate, get up a little bit, and then you come down. And then I kind of ad lib when I read a book. I do that.
That's a wonderful gift, reading to somebody. Reading out loud to somebody like that is a gift.
Yes, yes. I've often seen myself with kids around me, and I'm reading to them.
Oh,
and that's
beautiful.
Probably where my fairy tale comes in, too, because I can see myself reading it to kids. And she took the story and read it to the 9th grade class in English because the teacher said, I'd like to see it before you read it. And she said, did you write this? She said, well, my gran wrote most of it. And she said, read it. Read it to the class. And they just loved it. I mean, that should have given me my encouragement, Lexi, but it's got to do with another person. And I don't have that person in my life, so I don't feel like it can be presented to the world yet. I know it sounds stupid. I mean, that's just dumb, but that's part of it. But tell me now. Okay, so
you'll know when it's ready. You'll know when you want to unfold that.
Probably.
You've always trusted your intuition, so, you'll know. You'll know the right time.
Yeah, there's a lady listening right now. She says, look what you've done for 20 years. Just go with it. You know what to do. You'll fix it. You'll make it right.
Exactly.
She's probably laughing because it's instinct. It's just not right. Maybe it has to be after all of this, and maybe this man will come in my life, and then I'll have that feeling, because it's a book from within, that I'll be able to present it, and it's a very spiritual book. And I don't know. I kind of have the name of it, and I've had a few names. But anyways, let's get back to you. I don't like to. I can end up talking about me for the whole hour.
I look forward. You'll let me know when you're ready to launch that one.
you want to read it,
I think the world needs it. It sounds wonderful.
Well, it's a spiritual. It's magical. And you'll
love
see
magic.
How I end my show. Yeah, you'll see how I end my show, and you'll say, oh, okay, I got it, I know. But you already know about me because, I mean, we connect. I'm telling the audience, we connected on the phone. It was like we'd known each other for years.
I love that.
I said this with a few people, but you, just what you did for me told me a lot about you. You're very giving. You're very, very giving, and I love that about people.
And
I
so
think
are
everybody
you.
Should,
right back at you.
Yes. Okay, so... The first book, what was the first book you wrote now?
The first book was What is Spirit?
Okay,
and then I wrote What is Peace?
Yep.
And then I wrote What is Love? And then in my love book, I say love never dies. So then there was this voice saying, oh, you have to go write What is Death? So then I wrote What is Death? And that's the one book I do teach off of. And then after... working with What is Death, I said, I've got to go write something fun. So I wrote What is Laughter?
Right. Yes.
And, laughter is really healing. I mean, laughter, when you laugh, and His Holiness laughs a lot. He has a wonderful sense of humor. Laughter
really?
Is healing. It lowers cortisol. It improves your immune system. People, and that's the other thing. As we go through this virus, we have to remember to have a sense of humor, whether it's telling jokes or watching something funny on television, or we have to laugh right now. It's very, very important. So that was also a fun book. And then Romero Brito did the beautiful artwork on that. And his work
and
is so
beautiful.
Inspiring.
All the books are beautiful.
And he's a beautiful
and
human being. Yeah. Romero's a very kind, loving
person. The
covers
are gorgeous. And the books are not, I'm telling you, she sent this in this beautiful like you would give to a bride. That's what it reminded me of.
Aww.
It had this beautiful, I've got to tell everybody, because I'm proud of this, it's this, it was in this white netting, like it would be like a veil, feeling of a veil. Now, you got to get this, kiddo. You did this. And it's held by this white, silky ribbon. Just, and I just saw it. I just saw what it was. It was like a gift to a bride.
Aww.
That's how beautiful. I love it.
Well,
I mean,
they make great gifts, but, you know, I hope they inspire people. I hope they can help people. That was the whole intention behind it, you know. So.
And they can go to my bookstore, Akashic Bookstore, on planetstarswithaz.com, and your book, one of your books is there, and I'm going to have to put the rest of them. And they're just beautiful, just beautiful. So, okay, so did you put these books out really fast? I mean, did you write them?
No, this
one
has
right
been
after
a journey.
This?
No, this has been more of a 10-year journey. The first book I spent maybe 2.5 years researching and writing. Hay House published my first book. And then I bought the rights back a few years later and did this whole series, primarily because I do want to give these away. And they're all available on Amazon, but I also give them to charities and funeral homes and, you know, churches and synagogues and whatever. So I have more control, so they're all self-published. And then my new book that I'm working on, which is called Know Yourself, I hope to teach people to kind of know themselves a little more. That will be through Amazon as well. So that's what I'm doing, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm enjoying it very, very much. And I think we can all learn to be better human beings if we stay open in our hearts and learn from wise people out there and figure out how to navigate ourselves, you know, so we can find fulfillment in our lives. And a lot of it's
mm-hmm.
just getting in touch with who are you and what is your moral code and what are your principles and what are you living by, and checking
right.
in with yourself and making sure that you're still living out of that heart space. That's why
so
I subtitled all these books, Messages from the
really
Heart.
What do you really want? What is your
heart?
Yeah,
what do you really, really want?
That
yes.
you really want in your life?
Right.
Is it money? No. Is it fame? No. Is
None
it love?
None of that brings lasting happiness. Love.
No. Love.
So you have
That's
to love yourself.
That's the number one thing. That's
you have
right.
to love
exactly.
yourself first. Or you can't, if you're angry at yourself or not in touch with who you really are, which we're
mm-hmm.
all divine beings. But I think some people have had very difficult lives and they've learned not to love themselves, or they have felt judged or criticized their whole life and they don't feel, you know, worthy. I think it's self-worth on a lot of levels. So you have to believe in yourself and love yourself, and then from there you can love others and you can be compassionate and empathetic toward other people. But it always starts with yourself.
That's
and
right.
you have to recognize that. And that's what His Holiness talks about all the time, that you could
Does he really?
The whole world over and not find anybody more worthy than yourself. You have to believe that. You have to know that. I was reading something that he said today that was so beautiful. If you want, I can share. It's called A Precious
please,
Human
please,
Life.
Yes. I want to hear it.
It says, this is by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Every day, think as you wake up, today I am fortunate to have woken up. I am alive. I have a precious
yeah.
human life. I am not going to waste it. I'm going to use all of my energies to develop myself and to expand my heart out to others, to achieve enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. I'm going to have kind thoughts towards others. I'm not going to get angry or think about bad things about others. I'm going to benefit others as much as I can. His Holiness the Dalai Lama. That's a very beautiful...
Yep.
So I was thinking,
yeah.
you know, if we could just live by some of his principles, some of those beautiful Tibetan Buddhist principles, regardless of what tradition you've been raised. I was raised Christian, and I've added all these beautiful concepts, ideas, and parts of wisdom for myself onto my own tradition. And to me, it makes, I feel, my life richer and more fulfilled. So... I've been very open to some of these newer ideas that I'd never been exposed
yes.
to until
I became
older.
Well, I was
older,
raised a Catholic,
you know?
And
mm-hmm.
in high school went to church every day. Well, we went to church just to get a ride by my girlfriend's aunt. I mean, there was a reason for it, but we ended up having to, I mean, we had to go, or we
right.
didn't get a ride, you know. But through the process of it all, and I've said this before, I learned throughout high school now, because I had to go in every day, 5 days a week, every day to Mass. We walked home usually from school, but it was a mile, but it was okay. And I realized that after I got out of school, I would go to Mass, and I would sit there and look around and think, you know, I don't really have to be here to talk to God. Isn't God mm-hmm. everywhere? And I looked at all this gold and all these pillars, and all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute here. I started really thinking, and I went to Mass here and there, but nothing like I did when I was in high school. But I think it showed me something. It showed me that God is not just in a church.
Right.
He's just everywhere, you know. Don't be contained in a space where you think that you have to go to Mass. I have a cousin that goes to 7 o'clock Mass on Sunday mornings. I'm thinking, are you nuts? So I say to her. She laughs. But she went to a Catholic high school, see.
Probably works for her. For some, many, many people, they love the rituals, and that means a lot.
For me,
I would rather take a walk in nature. I'd rather walk down by the river or in a mountain. For me, that's my holy space. But for some people, they really love ritual, and they love going to something organized like that. So I think it's different for everybody.
Yeah. I'd like to
wherever you can find peace and love, go for it.
Yeah.
For me, it's more in nature. That's my church.
That's
nature.
Really true. So you've done so much. Oh my goodness. You hosted monks at your home?
Yes, I have. I've been very fortunate. For over 22 years, I've been hosting monks at my house. Yes. And I've been very lucky to have them in my life. It's wonderful. I look forward to it every year. It's a very peaceful week.
Oh, you're doing it every year. You're still doing it.
Every year for a week, yes. And they usually build a mandala. It used to be at the Aspen Chapel, and then we moved it to the Art Museum. So they build these beautiful sand mandalas, which is their roadmap to enlightenment. They're beautiful. And after thousands of hours, they brush it up and give everybody a little piece of it and put the rest into a beautiful river. And that ceremony teaches impermanence. And that's something that I think people have a hard time wrapping their heads around, that everything is impermanent. Relationships that we have right now are impermanent because one of us will die and leave the other people. So, you know, everything's impermanent, and it teaches you just to really appreciate the here and now and appreciate that friendship and that love that you share with your family and friends or whatever right now, because everything's impermanent. And it's just a very, very powerful lesson. And it's one of the core teachings of Tibetan Buddhism, of course, is impermanence.
So how did you start doing that? I mean, how did they find you?
When I was writing my book, What is Spirit, somebody called me and said, you know, I'd love for the Tibetan Buddhist monks to come over and meet you. And I said, well, I would love to meet them because I've done human rights work in New York City. I was living in Florida at the time. But I said, I'm on deadline. Hay House, you know, is publishing my book, and I have to do this book, and I don't know how much time I'm going to have, and I'm going on and on. I don't know if I can see the monks, right? So I open the door, and 10 monks walk into my life, and they were going to stay for an hour, and 10 hours later, I didn't want them to leave, and I heard about their journey. Some of these older monks had escaped with His Holiness the Dalai Lama from Tibet, because His Holiness lives in exile in Dharamsala, and I was like, oh my goodness, I had no idea. And then we talked about their culture and things in their life, and we sat and talked, and they had a translator at the time. And I was just like, I felt at home. I can't explain it. I felt so peaceful being with the monks. And I felt like, you know, maybe in another lifetime I was a monk. I don't know. I just felt this deep, profound connection. So that changed my life, and that was over 22 years ago. And it's been this incredible journey. of spending time with them every year, and it just keeps growing and getting deeper and deeper, and then all their programs that they offer. And, you know, I've just learned so much. They offer so much at Emory University, because that is where His Holiness is actually on the faculty there. And Geshe Lobsang Tenzin, who's like a brother to me, he's a professor, Professor Lobsang Tenzin Nagy. He teaches something called cognitively based compassion training. And I've done his trainings, and, you know, it's just been this incredible journey. Like one door opened and another door opened, and it just kept going. And, of course, then the C learning that I talked about earlier, the social, emotional, ethical learning. There's so much that His whole, and this is all spearheaded by His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and he has these incredible, brilliant people around him that are executing all these amazing programs that are making a giant difference in our world. So, you know, how could I not want to be involved? How could I not want to be part of this incredible journey? I feel very blessed and very fortunate.
Well, so, okay, so do the same ones come every year to see you, or
is it the same monastery? It's not the same monks. No, the monastery has about 4,000 monks, and every year there's 10 or 12 that come to my house, and this has been over 22 years, so I've hosted quite a few. But, and so every year it's different monks, but they go, "We've heard about you."
And now, are there other monks in the monastery?
Yeah,
they go
the monastery
to other homes as well.
Yeah, they go back, because they go back after a year. It's tough, you know. They've been living in a, you know, the monastic life. They've been living in a monastery, and they come to America to teach, and all over the world. I mean, they travel to Mexico and Germany and all over the world, but they travel to share their traditions and talk about their beautiful culture and the teachings. And after a year of being on the road like that and not being in the monastic life, they kind of long to go back. They want to go back. And so a new group comes over. And so it's back and forth. And one day I will get to the monastery and see many of my friends that I've known so far over these 22 years. So I look forward to that. I have been to India, but I didn't make it to the monastery.
Wow. Well, if I was at your house and they were all there, I'd be like this little quiet little person, and I'd just be taking it all in. That's what I would do. I would be in awe.
Yes. Yes.
I would
it's
be
just
because
an honor to be with them.
They're masters
walking the earth here.
And you know, they to want to come to your home is like such an honor for you, of course.
It is. It's a big honor for me. Every year, I'm so excited. It's like I look forward to it.
I mean, do they dress like regular people? I mean,
No, they're dressed in robes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know that sounds stupid, but that's not a dumb question, because how would I know? I wouldn't know, but yeah.
Well,
Geshe
Lobsang Tenzin was a monk for 20 years, and then he gave back his robes so he could be a full professor and actually kind of be more of a liaison between Eastern and Western cultures. But that's a long story. But I've taken the monks into schools, and they talk to the children, and these are elementary schools I take them into, and they go, "How many pairs of shoes and T-shirts do you think I have?" And the kids are going, "Well, I don't know, I have like 20. I have 20 pairs of shoes, and I have 50 T-shirts." Or they go, "We have 2 pairs of shoes and 2 robes, and that's it," you know, and they talk about that. And I think the kids are like, wow, you know, maybe we do have a lot of material things, you know, because they talk about how they live, and they're very transparent that they have 2 robes, 2 pairs of shoes, and they have 1 bed and lots of books that they have to read, because they're very, very intelligent and well-educated. And that's their life. That's the life they've chosen, of course, to be a monk. But then when the little kids talk about, you know, all the material things they have in their world, I think there's a lesson to be learned there. And I think the kids walk away going, wow, I get it, you know? It's very interesting.
Yeah, they
every
get
time
it, but they're probably thinking, why would a person want to just have 2 robes and 2 pairs of shoes?
Well, and they talk about that. They said, you know, we're very happy. We chose this life, you know, we chose to be a monk in this lifetime. And we're very happy because we're teaching, and we love teaching. We love learning. you know, we get to focus on ourselves and try to be the best human being we can be. And, you know, they talk on a third grade level, but the kids get it. They get it. That it's a choice they made to really make a difference and follow their passion. And it doesn't have to be those children's passion, but I think they respect it. You know, it's very interesting. And that's been a pleasure to take the monks into the schools and have them talk about their life, because the kids ask such cute questions, you know.
I'd say, well, what kind of food do you eat?
Right. Well, some are vegetarian and some are not, and they talk about that. And a lot of it has to do with food that's actually available in southern India.
Yeah. Wow. I'd be just sitting there. I mean, I'd probably, in seventh heaven, just to be in their presence, I think, because I've always regarded them as very specially chosen people.
They're very enlightened souls. Yeah.
Yes. Now, you know, it's different from like a nun.
Mm-hmm.
I used to, because we had nuns, I took all the sacraments, and we had nuns who would teach us, and she'd walk around with a ruler and hit our hands if we didn't know our prayers. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I would, that's why I could have gone really astray, but I didn't. I mean, I was a real thinker when I was really little, see? And I would sit there and think, well, who do you think you are?
Right.
You,
it's not very loving, is it?
No, it's not very godly either.
Didn't Jesus talk about love?
Yeah, and it's not very godly.
And hitting me with the ruler is not very loving, yeah.
Yeah, you treat us like we're morons. That's
not
giving us, you know, making us feel very good, and some of the kids would really get upset, and I'd sit there. I remember thinking to myself, geez, you know, I wish I could just grab you and say, you need to stop. This is not godly. What you're doing.
No
way, Jose, at all. But you see, you know, I was like, what, seven, eight, like when I was going to the airport. Oh, I just talked to everybody, and I thought so much that it's probably a good thing I kept my mouth shut. Because I don't know what would have happened to me.
It's good to question. It's very good to question and not just follow, because then you're not real. You're just going along with it. And when it goes into your heart and you're like, nah, that doesn't work for me, then that's important to listen to that and figure out what does work for you and what does work for you. And maybe it's a variation of that theme, but it's not that, because that wasn't working even for you when you were 8 years old. They were out of their loving, really. Yeah, treating people
like that.
So,
they weren't teaching me how to love.
No.
They weren't teaching me anything. They were walking around like they were all that, and I want to say a bag of chips with salt, but they weren't. And then I realized, Lexi, that these are just women. I always thought at 3, 4, 5 years old, because remember, I thought I was a real thinker because I was alone a lot, and I spent a lot of time analyzing and thinking. And I thought, God, you know, to have God come down and say, you're going to be a nun, you're going to do these things in my name. And then I realized, well, they're not doing anything in his name. They're just women in long clothes, black gowns. And I started looking at them differently, and I probably shouldn't say that, but because it is kind of disrespectful, but it's really not, because it's truth. They were walking in a space where they thought they owned that room, and you were at their mercy, whatever they felt, and they weren't nice. I never saw one be nice.
Well, that's where I've worked with what I call wounded Christians from experiences like that. And the sad part is that Christianity has such beautiful teachings to it, but when it's presented that way, it's very wounding, in my opinion. And my father always had a great saying. He goes, be careful how you live. It may be the only Bible some people will ever read. And, you know, the bottom line is actions speak louder than words. So if you're, you know, hurting people or criticizing people or hitting them with rulers, those actions are not loving, in my opinion. And so, it doesn't matter what they're teaching. If you're out of your loving, no one can hear the actual message, and the message has gotten lost completely, in my opinion, again. So,
yep.
You know,
if I would have went to Catholic school, I would. I mean, I don't know what some of these kids, what would they have turned out to be? I mean, it was not
right.
giving us a great impression. We could have
right.
ended up turning out to be monsters.
Of course.
Like
no,
me.
No, there's, you know, there's apologies needed, in my opinion.
Yes.
You
oh,
know,
yes.
I mean,
oh, yes.
Well, that, you know, yeah. that's not okay. That's, you can't hurt people. You can't, you know.
No.
Yeah.
But that's what they did.
Yeah.
You didn't know your
yeah.
prayer for that time.
Yeah.
They hit you with a ruler.
Yeah.
And embarrassed you. But
yeah.
anyways, that was then. This is now. I would never put up with that. You know that. Mm-mm,
well,
no.
of course not. You know, and that's where we have to have a voice. That's where we
and
have to raise strong women
chair.
To speak up.
Yes.
And strong,
you said
strong voice
you
to
say
speak
the,
up.
The Lord's Prayer. I want to hear it. I want to hear the Lord's Prayer from you. I mean, I was respectful,
yeah.
you see. And
right.
I was and I wasn't. I mean, I was questioning everything. And it's good. It's really
well,
good.
It's very important to question because that kind of behavior is, like, off. So if you don't question, you go along, then you get wounded and hurt.
And it's wrong. But anyways, that was that. This is now. And
yes.
Okay. So so all the books you actually took a while to write, and now
yes.
you have other books. Yes. Go ahead. I'm on
well,
your site.
Well, I have these five books.
Time.
My What Is series. What is spirit? What is peace?
Yeah.
What is love? What is death? And what is laughter? And I'm coming out with a new book this summer, and it's called Know Yourself. And in that book, I talk about the four virtues of the heart and how to cultivate more love and compassion and empathy in your life. And that's kind of what I'm talking about there, and how to, you know, really find your truth and lasting happiness. And it's not with material things. It's always going within. It's knowing who you are, knowing
right.
what your principles are. You know, like the analogy of a sailboat. If it's out there floating along without a rudder, it just goes this way and that way, and whatever the wind blows, it just goes. But if you put a rudder down, then you can start steering your life and navigating
right.
your life and figuring out, like you said earlier, you know, why are you here and what is your purpose and, you know,
mm-hmm.
what do you really, really want? So those are important questions to ask, you know, and I think that's what, you know, that's the silver lining with what we're going through right now. This is an opportunity for people to really go within right now and figure out some of those answers that will make them a better, stronger, I feel, a happier human being, not focusing on material things. You don't have time to go shopping right now.
No.
You know, you
no.
don't have time to do all those things that are pretty frivolous in the end, and maybe it is a time to refocus and reframe and figure out, you know, life's meanings for yourself. And that's going to be different for every person. But I think we're all here with a divine purpose, and it's our job to figure that out and to figure out how we want to make a difference.
Oh, I talk to God every day. Tell me what to do.
Yeah. Surrender.
I mean,
and
you
ask.
Know, if I need the tools, okay, give me the tools. You know, I'm very brave. I'm very brave. I can do just about anything. And so, you know, it's almost like, you know, you would like to make it good for everybody. But I also know, like we were just talking, that these are lessons for some people. I mean, some of them are very harsh. I know. I don't like it when people die.
No.
I don't like that. I mean, and I'll,
no,
and I'll
of course
even
not.
Say why.
No, no one should be dying from this virus. It's very
no,
sad.
No, I'll say why.
Very
why?
Sad. No.
Yes, I don't
ugh.
Like that.
No.
And it's, it's just a terrible thing. I mean, but anyways, okay, so now this other book, now when is it going to be published? Because you know you're going to have to come on the show again.
Well, I'd love that, sure. Hopefully this summer. I'm editing it now, working on it now, revising it now, but it's been written, but now the hard part is just going back to edit and put it in order and you know, finishing up introductions and stuff like that. So it's almost done. And
awesome.
Then I'll go to Amazon and have them publish it. So, yes.
Yes, I heard that they can do that, right? So if I did my
yes.
little fairy tale, they could do
yes,
that?
Yes, they can.
I mean,
it's wonderful. They print on demand, and it's wonderful. So, yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, well, when I come to that point, I will contact you.
Call me.
And
yes.
Okay, Lexi, show me the way.
And I've never done it this way. This will be first for me, so I have to walk myself through it and figure it out. But
oh,
by the time I do,
oh,
yeah,
you,
because
oh,
my
I
other
books,
the other books I printed in Hong Kong because they were art books. Remember, the five books that I've written so far are gift books. They're beautiful art books with profound messages. So,
mm-hmm.
like for Mother's Day, what is love is great, or if somebody dies, what is death? I know it's comforting. People have said that to me many times. So, you know, or what is spirit is a great, you know, way to start a conversation. If you go to a dinner party, bring it and read out of it and talk about something meaningful. So they're conversation starters. Those are gift books. This other book that I'm writing now is different. So it's a departure. And I'm using Amazon, as far as I know, to publish it and get it out there. So that's where I am.
Awesome. Awesome. This is so wonderful. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
I am.
That's sweet of you to say. That's very kind.
Well, such great accomplishments.
That means a lot to me. That's sweet. That's
well, I'm
very
glad.
Sweet.
No, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, I always have all kinds of authors on the show. I've had the opera star, you know, I've had artists, different kinds of people from different walks of life. And almost every one of them, probably every one of them, started off in their life questioning things, and then these doors all opened for them. And then sometimes I'll listen and I'll think to myself, well, gosh, what kind of a door opened for me, but look what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I would never have thought I would be doing this at all.
Right.
You know,
well,
I'm
proud of you,
not
blogging and having your own show and doing everything yourself. You're amazing.
Well,
you are a strong
I have a
woman.
Webmaster.
You are a strong woman.
I am.
Yeah.
This lady that's listening, she's nodding her head. Oh, yes, she is. But, you know, I started with one site, and then I did the magazine. I mean, I've had webmasters. I had people that were my friends, but now I've had a real webmaster for 9 years. I mean, he's a dream. You know, he's like in his 30s. It's just, if you think it, I can do it. And, you know, he'll call and he'll say, you know, I haven't heard from you in a few days. I know what that means. And I said, what does that mean? He says, that means you're thinking of things for me to do. Right? And I said,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
He told me, he says, I don't know anybody that can keep up with you.
Wow,
said,
that's great.
Isn't that nice coming from somebody like that? And I,
you
know, he said you can run circles around
a 30-year-old, I'm sure.
Well, he said, you know, you can. I could teach you code so easily, but then I'd lose my job. I said, no. I mean, I do QuickBooks. I learned from a CPA.
Good for you.
You know, and he told, and I'm saying this story again to people, but he said to me the reason why you do this so well, and I said, well, tell me. He says, because you ask questions, and you never act like you are a know-it-all. He said, when you sit down with me and you say, well, I've never done that before, how do I do it, and why do we do it this way? He says, see, that brings out the teacher in me. He's a partner in a firm now in Michigan, a big firm, and he taught me everything. It wasn't QuickBooks. It was Q&A then. He taught me off of that. He taught me about payables, receipt, everything. And, you know, I'll talk to my son. He says, Mom, how do you know all this? I said, Vince taught me. No, he said. I said, well, a lot of it I learned myself. I and I'm real good at looking things up. Like, you know, I can, and then I can understand it. But I love learning. I mean, I wish I was like this, would have been like this when I was really, really young. I don't even know what I would have turned out to be. I don't know.
Well, but you know, what you said is actually very profound. I mean, having a learning orientation to life and having the initiative to look things up and to ask questions,
mm-hmm.
I think that's missing in a lot of the millennials today. I hate to say that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's
maybe.
Really important. I mean, you know, it's so important to ask questions and never act as a know-it-all, like you said. And
no.
It brings out the teacher in other people. But if you just sit
right.
there like you know it all and you don't, you never learn anything. You know, it's like
that's true.
Asking questions, in my opinion, is a sign of a very intelligent mind. And we can all make ourselves more intelligent by just asking questions. Ask questions.
And that's why he loved to teach me.
You ever find young people don't ask questions anymore?
Right, and that's why he loved to teach me. He said, because and he didn't tell me this for years. I mean, I knew him since he was 8 years old. And we still talk at least several times a year. He's in Michigan. I'm in South Carolina, right? And I sent him my work last year. He said, send me the whole file. I want to see it. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, he's going to grade me. What is he going to give me? You know, well, you made a mistake here. You made a mistake there. He calls me up, and I says, uh-oh. Okay, give me the bad news. He says, no bad news. He said, it was like I haven't had anybody learn like you. You don't have a degree. You know, you're not a CPA. You're not an in-house bookkeeper. But he said, you know what? You could do it all.
Yeah.
And he said, did I teach you all this? I said, yeah. And he said, but you see, you asked the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
Even the girl that does my stuff, she's a CPA, I'll ask her questions. And she told me one day last year, she said, you know, I tell people about you. And I said, why? She said, because I love teaching you. You get so excited. Oh, I got it. I know what I'm supposed to do now. I figured it out. She said, you know, people are really, like we said, know-it-alls. They don't want anybody to think they don't know something. She said, but you're not like that. Why?
We all know so little. And that asking the right questions and getting excited about learning is everything. Is everything.
It is.
I don't know how you teach that. You were born with that. You're just like that. At 8 years old, you were like that, asking questions. So it's a wonderful quality to have that learning orientation toward life. That's fabulous.
I was really quiet with my friends, Lexi. I didn't talk very much. I kept everything to myself. And I, my friends were at home playing with dolls. I was watching planes.
Yeah. Yeah, you're
and
curious
they wanted
of
to
how
know why.
They worked.
I said, well, you're playing with stupid dolls. I'm going to go
like
something that's real.
Yeah.
It lands and it takes off.
I never liked dolls either, so I was a tomboy. I thought they were dumb. I didn't want to play with a doll.
That's right. You know, I mean, you know, but I think back of my childhood and all of that and where it's brought me today. And, you know, you learned, but you have to ask questions. You really, really do. That's so important if you can do that.
Yes, I agree.
There's something here about Goldie Hawn's Make Up, Mind Up curriculum. You were involved in that?
Well, she started that, and she's incredible. And I helped bring some of the Mind Up trainings here to the Valley. It's also wonderful work. Mind Up is incredible. And bravo to Goldie Hawn, because Mind Up is in like hundreds and hundreds of schools. I think 300 or 400 schools around the world actually. And it teaches how to really, first it teaches you the science of the brain, like how the prefrontal cortex works and this and that. And then they teach children to take a brain break. When you're feeling stressful, take a breath. And really focus on what you're doing. So it teaches children what I would call self-regulation. They don't call it that. They call it a brain break. But how wonderful for a little kid who's like feeling angry or wants to be a bully or maybe has an abusive home and comes to school and is mad, but he learns how to take a brain break. He learns how to really self-regulate and control his mind. That's what Mind Up is all about, and it's a fabulous program. It's really amazing.
I never knew that about her, but I always knew.
And so that's her give back, big time. Goldie Hawn started that. She believes in it. She teaches it. She's invested, you know, her time and effort on it, and I really admire Goldie Hawn for doing that. Very, very
much
so.
How did you get acquainted with her, though? How did that happen?
Well, because I learned about Mind Up, and she has a part-time home here, and so her and Kurt come here, and then when I found out about that program, I said, well, I want to bring it to the schools here. Our schools need this, and I want to invite all the schools up and down the valley, public, private schools, everybody. So if I'm going to bring in the trainers, I brought the trainers in, and I got involved with it, and I very much believe in it to this day, so... And then I got to know Goldie a little bit, and she's a wonderful human being.
Oh, who
her
doesn't
and Kurt
love the
are,
two of them?
They give back.
I mean,
they're givers.
Yes.
They're the real deal. They're wonderful, wonderful people.
That's nice to hear. You'd like to hear that about people that you have seen She hasn't really acted or anything, and he has. But
They've been in some shows lately together. But they're both givers. I mean, they're all about making a difference.
I love
they
hearing
are,
that. That just makes my evening. It really
yeah,
does.
Yeah, they're incredible.
You always want to hear that about people like that you've admired for one reason or another, and she was always
I agree.
But she's
they're kind, compassionate, loving people.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's good. That's awesome.
And I think that's rare in Hollywood. I don't know, but they are the real deal.
Yeah. Do they go in your, are they in your area that often, or?
They're here like part-time, yes.
Like winter or something, maybe?
A little bit in the winter, a little bit in the summer, yeah.
Oh, awesome. That's nice, huh?
Very.
You still keep
and
in
she's
touch
very
with her?
Close to His Holiness the Dalai Lama too. She's a very spiritual person. She's a wonderful
good.
Human
that's
being.
That's another thing that makes me feel good. I like
yeah.
to hear that. I like to know
yeah.
that people there's more to them than possessions and
things.
And she's
a brilliant actor. They both are.
Yeah.
They're very
yeah.
good at what they do. Yeah.
Yeah, they really really are. Well, our time is up, but I'm going to have you back and I want to tell everybody about your site here. Before we go, I could talk to you for hours. Her site is spiritpeacelove.com, and she's got free resources there. She's got her books are there. Give back. I didn't click on the give back. What is the give back, Lexi?
The give back card, well, that's where you can go find the SEED program and Mind Up and other organizations that are giving back and making a difference. And I need to add many more on there, but that's just the beginning.
Is this how the monks really dress? Are these the real monks?
Those are the real monks, that picture, yes. That's the real monks.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. I'm in awe of this, you know. Can you tell? Oh, the
yeah.
sea learning, there it is. Okay, I see
yep.
it. Awesome.
Yep. So
awesome.
Free resources
awesome.
And give back are all for free, and I'll be posting more free resources on the website.
You even got
so.
Goldie's Foundation there, too.
I do.
Cool.
She's giving
awesome.
Back big time. Yeah.
You're awesome. But
well,
I already
so
knew
are
that
you.
When I...
It was a pleasure
oh.
talking with you. Time flew
oh.
by, and we will do this again,
you.
I hope.
We will. I mean, and I'll be in touch. I've got your email address, and I've got
wonderful.
Your phone number now, too. Oh, my.
Yes, you can call me anytime, Natalie.
So long as you're not
all right,
keeping
my
for
darling.
All those kids.
You
oh,
take
yeah.
care.
Oh. Yeah, you too.
All right,
and,
dear lady.
Okay. Love you. Have a great evening.
Love you, too, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And as I always end the show, everybody, you know how I always end it. It's believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And I'm going to play Free to Love. That's something that's been put on here by my Candy. And you know all Candy has done such great things. She does all these videos. She puts it on YouTube, by the way. Star Psychics has a YouTube channel. You should go look it up and subscribe. All of the stuff is there. She does Twitter, she does Facebook, she does my Instagram. I do the Instagram, but I don't do the videos. I let her do that. She has fun doing that. And she's so creative, and I want to thank you, Candy, because she's listening, and I know she loves doing this. She's just wonderful. She really is. And, of course, my content writer, Jackie. Jackie does all the content stuff for me and the posts and the blog and all of that. So, without further ado here, let's end the show. And remember, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And here is Free to Love.
Hey. Free to love. If everyone could be who they were really meant to be,